Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart, and I'm very forgiving, but, like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're tuned in to the Gangsta Chronicles with James McDonald, Reggie Wright Jr., and Alex Alonzo on the Digital Soapbox Network.
I have a material witness on an aggravated battery with a handgun, and they believe this might be in retaliation to her testimony.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you may be listening from. Welcome to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles. This is episode 30, and my name's Alex Alonzo from Street TV, and I'm here with my two co-hosts.
Reggie Wright, James McDonald.
Thank you very much for listening to this new episode, and if you're new to the show, please go back and listen to our previous episodes because they're interrelated, just like this week's episode is related to last week's episode. If you're listening to this episode of the Gangsta Chronicles on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and a review. So we can continue bringing you this great content. Rate us from 1 to 5, 5 being the best. Leave us a comment and a question, and we will answer your question on the air. We're also on Google Play for Samsung and Android users, Spotify, and radio.com. And you can also watch portions of this podcast video clips on the Digital Soapbox Network. That's also on YouTube. You know, you can find James McDonald on Facebook with the red Harley and the icon profile photo, and you can hit him up on Instagram at BIGGJ3636. And he still has those shirts. Hit him up at 909-800-6404. And Reggie will no longer be on Bomb First because he already did his last show. So,
but you won't catch me live, but we're going to be breaking up some interviews, and I'm going to be doing some call-ins.
He will be returning to Bomb First maybe at some point in 2020, hopefully the middle of 2020. But I'm sure you could send him a message on his Facebook page, and you could also DM him on Instagram at reggie.wright.jr. Hopefully he'll have access to some burner cell phone
while he's gone. No, I'm not.
I'm just kidding.
But go to Bomb First for those that want to support a brother. And John will be posting on Thursday at Bomb First the information where you can write me a letter and tell me how good I look, how fat I look, how fucked up I am, how you like me, whatever.
Make sure you go visit Bomb First, and you can find me, Alex Alonzo, at streetgangs.com. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at AlexAlonzo101. So let's start episode...
Wait. Got to talk about the elephant in the room. We were supposed to be having a live show today. What happened?
I'm just going to get right into the show, if that's all right with you.
Well, we wanted... Oh man, how did you do it? Yeah. Just apologize to everybody out there that the live show didn't go. Whatever the case might be, the show must go on to me, but it didn't. So, you know, all of us we have a pack
deeply,
here.
Deeply.
So it's all four of us, all five of us pretty much. You know, gotta sit back, and we agree to everything. We agree to disagree on shit, and the show didn't go. But we guarantee, and I don't want to do a live show until Reggie come back anyway. By that time, we should be real good, and bringing Reggie back, everybody may want to come. And
give
just
me a coming home it. Party at the show.
That's what we should do, a Gangsta Chronicle party.
Yeah, we'll work it out.
All right, so let's get into this episode number 30, doing a quick fact check from episode 29. If you haven't heard episode 29, please go back and check that out. That one's entitled Pin the Tail, .. And first fact check is Rosemo 700 was shot and killed on November 2nd, 2011. His real name is Jomo Zambia. And November 2nd, 2011, he was 26 years old when he was killed. Mm. And the video that was uploaded between him and Bosco fighting, well, it really wasn't a fight. It was
Bosco getting walked like a dog.
That was uploaded in October. There's no actual date of that conflict. But so just what, maybe a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, Rosemo ends up shot and killed in Inglewood. So
you're trying to make it seem like Bosco had something to do with it.
No. I'm just saying we talked about that last week briefly.
Yeah, he did.
I'm just giving you the correct the dates on that. Also, James, last week you showed us a picture of Los Angeles Sheriff Deputy Samuel Aldama. That was the one that said he had problems with black people.
Yeah.
His name was Samuel Aldama, and he shot and killed Dante Taylor, 31 years old, unarmed, in Compton on August 26, 2016. And he was unarmed, and the family just got a $7 million judgment for that shooting of Samuel Aldama.
I don't even think he got fired for that. Did he get fired?
No, he did not get fired.
Okay, I don't even think he got fired. And they found out that the tattoo he had, he was a gang inside of the police department, like five of them, a little clique or whatever.
You know any Marines or any guys in
no,
the Army?
No, this was some Compton shit. You ain't, this your last night here, brother.
They all have their little cliques on their arm.
Okay, so you got that. Five police officers in the Compton Police Department. It says it in the damn thing, Reggie.
I'm just saying.
You said it's a such
I
thing
said,
of bad ones.
I said,
let this one be a bad one.
I'm not trying to argue him. I'm just saying they put
clearly,
tattoos on them.
Hold up. The man clearly said that he had a problem with black people.
All of
he
should have
been fired
arguing.
Then. Yeah. He done already killed a black man. He already been proven to be in a gang within a gang in the police department. This is how you break that shit up. And now they all, them fire, they ride together. They all got the same tat or whatever. If you're in the Marines, get a Marine tat. You're a police officer. You ain't supposed to be in no motherfucking clicking gang. You there to do your job individually. So what type of shit is that?
Disagree.
And then he didn't get fired.
Well, according to attorney Carl Douglas, one of the best civil rights attorneys in America, he accuses a lot of these police cliques as basically gangbanging.
They are.
And, of course, he's a civil attorney, so
but let's ask Reggie,
he's suing these cops.
Do you believe there's gangs inside the police department?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on to another comment that James brought up last week about the cop that was arrested for having KKK and Confederate flag memorabilia in his house. That was Officer Charles Anderson of the Muskegon Police Department. He was fired after they found that out.
Now, they found that out of him and fired him. This one didn't get fired. He committed murder and didn't get fired.
Come on. Let's listen to the whole deposition.
Why not? It states it.
Deposition.
I don't want to talk. Reggie is not going to win tonight with me.
Let's down that deposition.
The motherfuckers are KKK.
Oh,
they
no,
find
no,
out.
I'm not fighting.
No, we ain't
him.
Talking about him
no more.
He got KKK shit. This is what they policing us. But they KKK members. You feel me? Now they find out. Good, they fired him.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree with that firing.
Well, the article I found didn't say he was a member. He had KKK memorabilia.
Application.
Oh, no, he did. Yeah, he had
application.
Okay. Yeah.
Even if you think about being a KKK member,
but you know what his excuse was? What was his excuse?
I'm researching.
I'm a collector.
I'm researching.
I mean, if I came across some stuff like that, I might actually save it just to show my kids.
I'll say the same shit too.
Yeah.
Get a book of High Hitler, or Hitler, or some motherfucking racist motherfucker like that. You don't have to hold and save that shit. What the fuck they doing coming in your house?
He shouldn't have it saved where it was displayed in his house. You know how they found out? he was selling his house, and a potential buyer walked in. A black potential buyer walked in and was like, damn, yeah, what is this dude all about? And he reported it, yeah, and that's how he got fired.
The reason why I saved that is to say, this is what we are up against. We got police officers in gangs. You got, I did a show, the video, where you had military guys coming from the military joining the police force that was writing M13 and all this other shit on the walls that were gang members. And then come, and now they police officers. You bring, with the mentality you had in the Marines is the same shit you bring as a police officer. This is what we up against.
So gang members can't have jobs.
I didn't say gang members can't have jobs. There's a million gang members with jobs. There's a million of them.
And then last week, James, you actually asked the question, how many police officers have been convicted of murder? So I did a little research, and I found about 31 cops in the United States during the last 100 years have been charged with murder.
Wow, on duty?
Not all of them on duty. Some of them off duty. But they were
with their service weapon.
Actually, a couple of them with not their service weapon, too. But so far, 30 officers, 31
That's
officers.
That's low.
Going back to 1890. And not all of them were found guilty.
Okay, so let's do this. You got 30 officers. How many bodies? Only 30
Come on. We taking stuff out of like.
How's out of context? How many police officers done killed a motherfucker and got out?
I'm sure some done killed their wives.
Reggie's right. Yeah. A couple of these guys on this list of 31 killed their girlfriend or killed their wife.
Okay.
A couple of them were actual serial killers. Two officers were actually working for the mafia.
Let me ask
and was dropping
this.
Bodies.
Is it safe to say that the police officers are just like us? They think just like us.
Oh.
They walk just like us, but they wear a uniform.
Jay, I tell it all the time. I say it all the time. Don't I give you about 2% of dirty motherfucking cops? That's this bad? That's outright dirty? I say within any police department, 2%. So what's 2% on a 12,000 man unit? You know, LAPD is about 12,000.
Very small.
2%. 2% of them motherfuckers is bad.
But these are the only ones where a district attorney or a DA decided to file. Yeah, they choose to file. It doesn't include, like, Dante Taylor, who was shot and killed in Compton a few years ago.
Exactly.
There's a lot of those. But I don't know.
Shot and killed?
Yeah, shot and killed. Unarmed. 31 cops charged with murder. Not even convicted. 31 were charged.
The ones that they say that it was legal. That they don't find no wrongdoing. They don't show them. They don't put them in that statistic.
No. So in answer to your question, how many convicted of murder? Less than 31, because not all of these were even convicted.
Oh, so your thing is convicted or
arrested? These were charged for murder by a district attorney.
Charged for murder?
Yeah.
And convicted?
No.
Not all convicted.
There's like three that are actually pending. So some, and also want to say, a lot of these are within the last 20 years, even though it goes back to 1890.
I worked with an officer that killed two Samoan guys in Compton. I wonder if he's on there. His name was Al Scowls.
I don't think he's on here. Yeah, and I don't think this is a comprehensive list.
That's why I don't think your list is accurate. Because Al Scowls killed two Samoans, unarmed Samoans, and I don't mean to laugh. I just think how crazy it was. He had them on the hood of the car, and they came off the car. And he
was he charged?
He was charged. He went to trial. He beat it in a trial, but yeah.
Well, this is definitely.
So that's why I think the list is.
I put this list together yesterday and today of these 31 officers,
this is about 1995. For those of y'all who want to research it and pick it up, Al Scowls in Compton.
This list is definitely not comprehensive, and it's something that when I was listening to your question. That's something we should know. Like, we should actually know state by state,
exactly.
The whole country, what years. And this list doesn't exist on the internet. There's not a place you can go and find all this information.
Because they don't want to show you that. They don't want you to be up on that or
sure
understand that part.
They're there. Like I said, we just got to get somebody to research.
Well, Wikipedia has an entry for cops charged with murder, and they had 12 names. When I first saw that, I was like, oh, only 12. But then I went another site and found another 15 names. So I actually compiled this list of 31 from bringing like three or four websites together.
I just told you one, and he's not on there. So it's plenty instances like that.
Well, it's still for the last.
I'm sure it's low, though.
Yeah, for 100 years of American policing. Even if the number's 50 in 100 years, that's pretty low.
100 years, in the beginning of that, it was legal to kill a nigga, a black person.
Well, they got one guy in here that did it.
100 years ago.
Did it in 1900 or 1901.
They did it and got away with it.
They got away with it.
Well, some bullshit, though, going on, we know.
All right, the last fact check.
And not just from police officers, from white men.
Shit.
This is related to something that Reggie said last week regarding Suge Knight. You called him a snitch and working with the police. And I just want to express that.
I asked, was it a... Well, my intent was this. But go ahead, keep reading.
And I think this comes from a quote that attorney Dermont Givens gave, which we talked about last week.
And who's the Suge attorney?
Okay. And this is what he said. He said, regarding the whole Harry O. Lydia case that got overturned, that bankruptcy that got overturned, he stated, complaints will be sent to the California State Bar and the FBI.
Complaints.
Complaint. You know what a complaint is?
If my complaint can go as high as I can get it, everybody knows Suge. Suge, like I just said earlier, Suge ain't trying to take the whole goddamn tree. Suge just wants some money from his shit.
Yeah.
If I can get $5,000, and he been like that. So this a fair statement?
My question was.
No, because I'm gonna get your ass
civil.
Right now. Because
don't we take it to civil?
No, we gotta
take it to the FBI. I just said, have your people.
It's his money, but not yours.
No, I think you called. You said he was
taking it for Suge. But it's his money. It's however he conducts his business. That's his money.
Wait a minute. Let me just say, it's his money, not mine. I lost a building in that bankruptcy. That was.
Did you say a billion with a B?
A building.
Okay.
A building that was $3 million. I paid for him.
Going on San Vicente and Wilshire.
That motherfucker just sold for $19 million a few months ago. So, yeah, Reggie took a loss too.
I'd have sold that as soon as everybody started going to jail. Reggie fucked up.
I want to express that there's no evidence that Suge Knight is snitching or informing. Based on the Harry O's reversed judgment.
Well, when you...
You're speculating that based on the attorney's quote.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, last week, you kind of came off a little bit more hard on him.
A little bit?
Well, I understand where Reggie's coming from because Dermont Givens...
How can you understand?
Because Dermont Givens is Suge's attorney.
Okay, whether his attorney is trying to do something, this is all business. Am I right, Reggie?
All I said was, reel your attorney in from the FBI part. It's how I ended it, right?
No, but you said...
Yeah, you did end it that way.
What did I say?
But after you went in...
What did I end it with?
We don't go there. We don't go to the FBI.
Reggie, you did what 900,000, 900 million motherfuckers do when they get mad at something, there's something going on, and you said that word. And then the whole thing about it is, Sugar's in jail. That brother's in jail. Excuse me. I said a long time ago, I'm going to take my foot off his neck because he's in jail. I have no reason to
I've been calling a Suge sympathizer on every platform I've ever been on.
I know, but you the main person that said to me, back up, because Suge, me and Suge argue like that. Mm-hmm. You and him might stay mad.
Yeah.
That's how y'all get down.
Yeah.
Suge understand you. Oh, Fatty, what do he call you?
I don't know.
Whatever. and y'all good.
Yeah.
So, okay, bam. My last conversation about Suge was on Bomb First. I don't have no reason to even go there. And when it was said, my whole thing is, come on, man, don't do that.
All right.
So you might owe the dude probably Suge, and I'm not taking your side. I'm just keeping it 100. I'm not taking your side. You don't have to like me, and I'm cool with that, too. But anyway, on you, Reggie.
Next.
Okay, well.
You say next. And you ain't going to say you right? You ain't going to say my bag? That's what, you a grown-ass man, dog.
Wait a minute. Let me clarify then.
Come on.
Let me do a clarify.
There it is, dude.
Okay.
You had me do it all the time on Bomb First.
All I was saying, and I know I said it, but all I meant was, is that snitching, if I have a representative of mine saying that I'm going to the FBI and I controlled that representative. And my question to you guys or to the panel was, is that snitching? And that's not my, I know it didn't come off that way, but that's what I was trying to get. And I said, I know it wasn't Suge that was going to the FBI. It was a person that worked for him.
So Suge is informing his lawyers to file complaints and this and that to try to get or even think that he can get his company back or recoup any monies from that business in a position he in. Is he wrong for trying to get that money?
Civilly, no.
Ain't that a civil case right there?
Not going to the FBI. FBI don't do...
Well, you got to get some... They do that's criminal what they complain about, so they can look into it to see if anything was fraudulent, right?
But bankruptcies are federal. You got to go to a federal court to do a bankruptcy.
Investigated by who?
The feds.
The feds.
Yeah. Okay, so if the feds find it that there's something going on in here, you might, Mr. Knight, you might be entitled to some money back I mean...
But you can also do that civilly. You can do that in a civil...
But I thought you had to go through the feds to get to that point.
No, no.
Let me ask this question.
Attorneys and
then federal cases ain't dealing with federal police officers. They got... Is it?
Yeah, FBI, DEA, FTF,
okay, but that's on
ATL,
a different... But they got different...
They got several type of federal law. Home loan security.
Exactly.
You got about five or six different branches of... A federal police.
And then if they found somebody fraudulent, like this young lady you said, they got the $1 million and she owe anything, they would be coming after her, right?
Lydia Harris.
Which was his wife. So we come at
they would be going after her.
Both of them together.
Okay.
If he signed it. He did sign something.
But did she get the money after the divorce? Because you said he divorced her the next day. Did she already get that check?
She already got it.
Or was it agreed?
Once she learned about it, she got the money order.
It could have been that she was going to promise the million. He divorced her first.
No, he divorced her because he was mad. He was like, bitch, you selling what for how much? No, you not.
And then you got to look at the shit he was going through with her anyway. Look how long they was together and how long he been in jail while she's out. Collecting.
But he was letting her handle stuff there.
Yeah,
at that point, until she fucked up and sell this, $107 million judgment for $1 million.
This can go further than that because you had other people talking to Suge for him. You had her.
Which, Suge and her were dealing. Suge was free.
Oh, yeah. When
Suge was dealing with
Suge was paying her bills.
Yeah, he was out.
Paying her bills. I remember that.
Yeah.
Now,
you're talking about the early 90s.
Yeah.
I'm talking about 2006, 2007.
No, when Defro, when it started cracking.
See what they're doing in the studio. She sued Suge for, we went to Wendy Williams' show. And Suge said, yeah, the homies was up there doing this to her in the studio. And she sued behind that. She brought that up in that settlement, and she sued him for making that statement on Wendy Williams. So.
Well, this kind of ties into a question I want to ask from one of our listeners. This came in on Twitter. Deuce Bell on Twitter asks, "Does the fruit from the poisonous tree defense apply in civil cases? If so, Suge Knight might have action at getting the lawsuit overturned." The Harry O bankruptcy case, he might be able to get the label back. And I guess that's where Suge's motivation comes from.
No,
not because he's trying to rat out Harry O.
No. His motivation is coming strictly from trying to sue some attorneys for some legal fees, for some...
I think he's owed.
For some malpractice.
Money, he's owed money.
For some malpractice.
If that...
And it's going to be his own bankruptcy attorneys and the receivers and all of that. I think him and Lydia working together to try to get the money. Might be with Harry O. Blessings.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry though, he's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, he's definitely owed money since it's already been determined.
Let me ask you this. I need you to say this because you know. Because I've been reading the comments and everybody. Harry O's out. I know. He's in a halfway house in San Antonio. Harry O's out. Would you please tell people where Harry O's sitting at?
You're right, Reg. Harry O is not out. I actually went to San Antonio, Texas. What was that, about a month ago?
Yeah.
When he was supposed to be released.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be the first person to greet him with a camera and
exactly.
Have a conversation with him, and it didn't happen. But the halfway house is set up. The nonprofit that's working with Harry O is already in place, and apparently they're just waiting.
Yeah.
And they told me they're waiting to the point where the call can come tomorrow.
Yeah.
No one knows. He can come home tomorrow or next month.
Well, that's the system. They're going to make you wait anyway.
Yeah.
If you haven't been to jail, you got to sit and wait.
His release date is 2028. That's the original release date.
It was something he had worked out where they were going to let him out.
Because he already did like 20-something years in the state.
Well, he shot somebody and had him riding in the car with him.
He shot his cousin.
He shot his cousin and got caught with him in the car with him.
That was what, 1988 or 89?
And then he had a Fed case, so.
Yeah.
So it's two different charges.
So he did all his time on the state case,
yeah.
And then the feds grabbed him to do, I guess, another. They want him to do another 12 or 13 or 14 years, but shoot, 40 years?
Shout out Harry. I hear he's a cool, laid-back dude. I never met him, don't know him. But a lot of people that I know on the streets, artists and all of that, he looked out for.
And when he does get released, we're not going to know right away. They're not going to make a big announcement. So he might have already been released yesterday, for all we know. I'll get the call.
The website, yeah.
I'll get the call within a couple of days or maybe
tell
a week.
Tell them again because you done gave people hope again. Have you got the call yet?
No, I haven't got the call yet.
All right.
But I will be getting the call when he comes home.
Yeah.
And I will be flying out to San Antonio probably a week or two after he gets released.
That dude's a go-getter for real, though.
Oh, no.
He helped
Denzel get his career off the map. He saved Lil J with Rap-A-Lot Records. And he say Shug. I never say that he didn't help Shug. I just say he facilitated dude. But to me,
said he did not
put any money
up towards Shug.
You said it was Pat Johnson's money.
It was Pat Johnson, but he facilitated it. It wasn't that Shug knew Pat Johnson or anything like that. He made a call to his boy and said, "Hey man,
I don't know where that story come from because all the goons and everything came from out the BH, and they was on it for him.
All right.
And you know, this is something it's like, bam. So we knew it was something. All the phone calls. Harry O used to call the office. When it first started cracking, he was calling.
All that. I'm the facilitator.
And then
I had my niggas put up money for this. These are my dudes that put up this money.
And isn't that the reason why OFTB, Death Row signed OFTB? Because they were from out the Nickersons, and that was like a favor to Harry O?
No, I don't know how that happened, but Dan Buntry was the manager of them.
That's later. That all developed in a relationship later.
They came.
I know he is a dude named Little Rat and all of that. Y'all research all of that.
Little Rat.
Little Rat.
Bunny on the Rat?
Bunny on the Rat.
Yeah.
That's what all of
that.
I
didn't even want to mention.
Well, you didn't, don't. I did.
His name.
Yeah. But I'm saying all of that comes with the Harry O and the OFTB situation and all of that. Let's research that, people.
All right. Let's move on. O.J. Simpson just hit 916,000 followers on Twitter. It is kind of moving slow.
He's moving slow.
I thought he would have been at a million already, but he's getting like a couple thousand a week, 3,000 a week, after just like jumping all the way to like 700,000, 800,000 in just like a couple of months.
I still say, what's the big, like...
Oh, you know what he's talking about now every day? It's fantasy football. I think he's into gambling. I think that's his little hustle now.
Vegas, yeah.
It's all about gambling. It's all about fantasy football. Who are the best players?
If it's legal, he cool. Anything that ain't legal, he needs to sit down.
That's keeping his mind occupied.
No, man.
I'm talking about fantasy football.
I know, yeah. but man, niggas ain't getting too many breaks. And
as long as he's talking about fantasy football, not...
That's what I'm saying, something legal.
Yeah, if I woulda, that's how I woulda did it.
Come on, OJ.
Now, that's his hustle right now, yeah. That fantasy football. And you can make some good money in that. In that game, depending on the pools.
Especially if a casino or a website's paying him to advertise him.
Man, I see OJ in a goddamn mobile home traveling. Just going to just travel.
I don't think he can leave the state.
He can't leave Nevada.
Yeah, he can't leave Nevada right now.
They tried to get him in Florida. Florida was like hell to the no.
Well, he got 3 years, 2 years more on probation?
Oh, no.
Parole?
Well, he was initially sentenced to 33 years, remember?
But that don't mean
they
get that
make
long
do
tail.
No 30-year tail.
Well, he did, 10? He did 10.
I'm saying you don't do a 23-year probation or parole.
Yeah, so he only had maybe a year or two-year tail.
Yeah.
Well, that's about it.
Yeah. He's still in Nevada. I don't think he wants to stay there.
Well, remember Florida denied him. That was the big thing. He just knew he was going home to his house in Florida.
Yeah, they didn't want him.
They said, no.
He's got to wait till he's done with parole before he can go to Florida.
Yeah. He was trying to get parole to Florida.
Yeah. How long you been out now?
About a year, huh?
His parole is coming. It's coming up. Yeah, he'll be able to go home in a minute.
I don't think quite a year.
All right. Well, Reggie, I need you to clear up this story about Ray J getting Suge Knight and Death Row story rights to do a movie, I guess.
Yeah, for those of y'all who haven't heard it on the big website, TMZs and stuff like that, y'all can go over the bomb first. And you can hear the audio from Suge. I wish I would have brought it in and played it here. I thought it had went viral by now and most people knew about it. But on the audio, Suge called from prison, and I broke the story. TMZ bit off of me. Well, Bomb first broke it. But anyway, what's the accurate statement according to Suge? But I know my boy Suge, so he might have promised Ray J that. But what his version is on record, audio, is that Ray J has rights to anything musically he has, which he lost all in bankruptcy, but he said that there's some new music that's coming out and he got some hidden Tupac songs and all of that Ray J gonna be putting out, and that's inaccurate. The estate has sued the shit out of whoever
you say is inaccurate. Why you say it's inaccurate?
He has no music. He lost everything in the bankruptcy.
How you know Suge ain't had some real
okay,
shit somewhere?
But you can't...
No, I'm just saying, we don't know.
If he does put
he
it
wouldn't
out,
be able to use it.
He can't use anything that does. That's been discharged from bankruptcy, and now you did what? Committed bankruptcy fraud.
Oh.
Bankruptcy is serious, dog.
Teach me something, brother. I don't know.
Unless they were songs that were acquired outside of the Death Row
or
umbrella.
Bankruptcy or later, but we all know Tupac's been dead since he filed for bankruptcy.
Or maybe Pac brought some songs with him that were recorded before he signed the Death Row.
But that's not Death Row songs. That's Interscope and the Mamas. Amaru's have those rights. Amaru, I'm sorry.
So, but Mom's is gone now, so who?
The estate. His sister.
His sister has an estate.
And some family members, his Aunt Gloria and Edie's son and by his sister. And it's a guy named Tom Wally that runs the estate for the trustee for them. But anyway, so that's the music. That's what Ray J has control of, which is nothing.
Basically nothing.
It's nothing then.
It's nothing. Then you have Nick Cannon. He said Nick Cannon is a hell of a writer. Which, if anybody know about writing a book, there's agents. And you have to have the agents to go and get their writers to write a book before any of the big five publishers will do anything with you. But he said Nick Cannon gonna write a book. Because Nick Cannon is a great writer.
He's a very educated young man, though. You don't think it's possible?
An independent book, but not with one of the big majors.
But anything with Suge name and Death Row on it makes it independent, don't it?
No.
It shoots it right up there, don't it?
You can go to one of the major publishers and get. But yeah, you can go to an independent.
I mean, I'm just saying.
But he's not going to do anything. An independent writer, you paying for a writer, you paying the money, you putting up the money.
But we're talking about rich cats that can do shit like this.
He would need a co-writer.
That don't okay. even miss a dollar.
Anyway, if he want to do that way, then Nick Cannon can do that. But trust me, he talking about, that's why they putting it out.
That kind of sound like a hater, Reg.
They want to put out, go through one of the big five.
Kind of sound like a hater, Reg.
I'm just trying to educate how the book game go. If you don't want to listen or don't want to know,
well,
then fine.
Monster Cody wrote a book inside a prison and got Penguin to sign a deal with him, and he just wrote it while he was sitting in Pelican Bay.
So now we're calling Penguin a major.
Penguin is definitely major. I think it falls up under Random House.
Yeah. No, but those are independent.
So you don't consider Penguin?
Random House is, but not Penguin.
Not Penguin.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, Nick Cannon, write the book. Whatever. Hopefully, wish the best. And then the third part was his girl, Tory Lynn. Tory Lynn is his current fiance, cool lady, cool chick. She's the one that went to prison, got caught up in some stuff, and got a 3-year sentence for him. And did that time. She's a cool chick.
Okay.
Cool chick. She had a baby by him. Her son's name is Legend. And he's saying that, hey, you know, because 50 Cent reached out and was like, hey, Ray J, contact me. You know, he was pretty much letting everybody know. The only person that has any rights to sign off for anything else other than those two things that I just talked about is Tory Lynn. She has my power attorney, and that's who I would want you to contact.
So she the only one that's, she pretty much right there. That's.
And when you ask me the question, like, why are you talking shit? Tory Lynn and Rick, who's her quasi-quasi, like good friends and brothers and, you know, they call each other brothers and sisters, even though they're not really brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
But they have a good relationship. That's the one I was talking about. I was in dealings with and talks with us doing the TV show.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry, though. He's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So what's the plan? Is it to write a book or to write a script of the death row history?
He actually can do both.
Yeah.
But he don't. Let's clear it up. According to Shep, that ain't the rights that Nick Cannon has. He just have a right to write a book.
No, I'm just saying where Shug is at, and this is where we don't use our head. Get all of these. I mean, Shug can actually do a movie.
He just don't want Nick Cannon negotiating a deal for him, which I understand.
Okay. And he can also, he got enough.
50 Cent reaching out. You got to remember, you got 50 Cent reaching out who did Power, who did the BMF thing. Hey, come and talk to me, 50.
Trying talking about Shug. Trying to put that shit and put it together.
Put it out, yeah.
And he got my another chick spot is Toy.
It ain't Ray J. It ain't Nick.
Yeah.
It's my chick, Toy. Holler at her, because that's who I'm loving. And, well, that's who loyal to me on that
exactly.
deal.
Why give Ray J those rights to that exactly. and then make him a mother?
And he says on the audio, for those that, I love Ray J. I got a lot of respect for Ray J. That's my little brother.
Yeah.
That's like family to me.
He got an indoor pool and an outdoor pool. You remember that rant?
Yeah.
Ray J?
Ray J is wild. I got 8 Bentleys in the front.
Yeah. And he also said that about Nick. So those 3 people he got a lot of respect for can't get word to him to make something happen. He just put the record on it to, this is what the, this is the game plan.
I think Nick Cannon could write the book. I think he can come off. He seems pretty intelligent guy.
He can write a book, but I'm just talking about the distribution part.
Hey.
They don't play that. They're going to make you get editors.
Even because he's a celebrity, and he's writing about somebody everybody want to know about, the inside scoop on Suge Knight, Death Row Records.
Suge done had two book deals on the table, and he had a third one.
He passed him up.
Well, he fucked him.
He fucked up what you call him. Because that last what you call him, he getting out the car throwing up and shit. He got a record.
Well, that's a
that
documentary.
Shit.
That's something different. That's a documentary. He had 2 book deals with a big publisher at one time. And never would finish the book, never would meet with the writers and all of that. And so people, you know, that world talks. That's a small community.
You remember the name of the publishers that were with
him? I don't remember. I know they were in New York because I was supposed to fly with him to go get it. That was when we was going through our back and forth. This is like in 2010, 2011. And he had $1 million on the table.
So how did the Ray J having the right story just get out there? Because almost it's everywhere that Ray J has the rights.
People are going to get mad. But this is what happened. So Ray J, Nick Cannon went up to the prison and been going up there to see Shep, right? Ray J went up to the prison about 3 or 4 weeks ago to visit Shep, wore the wrong clothes, couldn't get in. They wouldn't let him in. Ray J hates Nick Cannon with a passion. Why? Behind Kim Kardashian. After the sex tape and all of that, guess who started fucking Kim Kardashian?
Nick Cannon.
I was kind of dealing with Ray J. I had this company, True Dad Entertainment. And Ray J was up under me. I was fucking with Ray J tough. All-Star Weekend, so whatever year that was in Vegas. He was in the backseat of my car crying because we saw Nick Cannon and Kim Kardashian riding around in a white Phantom. My point is to that, Ray J never got over that.
That pussy must be gold. God damn. Niggas he dragging never out got that over pussy. That.
Ray, and Ray J had Whitney up in the room at the time.
She ain't doing nothing but fucking with rich niggas. Niggas is like,
and he was,
God damn, y'all can't
he was
find
sick
no
behind
black
that.
Pussy is good.
So, yeah.
So does 2007 sound about right?
Whenever All-Star Weekend was. Yeah.
In Vegas.
Yeah, in Vegas. And so,
oh, wait.
It's 12 years. 12 years. And so I think when Ray J heard about Nick Cannon going up there and talking on Vlad and all of that about all these rights and stuff like this, he was like, wait a minute. Because Ray J looked out big time for sure about when he was in county jail. I think I mentioned it before. He paid a lot of Suge bills back then. And Suge gave him some rights then. He gave him and Wack 100 some rights at
the
time.
But his only right, Suge was looking out for them when he was on the streets too, though,
yeah.
Right?
But they had got some paper on him. And saying, you know, like I said, he done so. I know Pat Johnson got some new paperwork. All right, y'all always say I'm calling names, but I just try to keep it real. But it's a lot of niggas. Suge done sold 300% of 100%. So it's a lot of people out there that got deals with Suge. He got a lot of people that got.
I believe that.
Because he was making shit happen in the county jail. He was paying, you know, trying to pay the lawyers and all of that, and he was trying the best he could.
Yeah.
But my point is, so Ray J did have the rights, but he revoked them. But when he heard that Nick Cannon shit, he couldn't let that ride.
But the rights and all that Toy shit
said
got nailed
that all he did in the last month or two was brought one of those scooters over, Raycon scooters, and brought it and gave it to her son, Legend. And then they hear this. They went crazy that morning when they heard that. Why do you think she got on the phone that day and put clarification on everything?
So they're upset with Ray J for spewing.
Suge not. If you listen to the conversation, he's cool. He clarified. He just clarified things. But Toy and Rick and all of them, it was throwing a monkey wrench into what they had working.
If Suge Knight was close with Ray J during them years back in the day, how come he was never an artist on Death Row?
He did a lot of recordings with him. He wanted a little bit more, but he didn't have no distribution. Ray J Mama, Sonya Norwood, runs that clan. She runs that. And he was a little younger then, and she knew the situation wasn't right. And I think they asked for $1 million, and she was like, I'm not paying $1 million for that. And then some things came out that I had told him, and I made Ray J come clean on, that went on with his baby mamas while he was in jail. No, baby mama while he was in jail. And I think that put a sour taste in Suge's mouth, even though he won't speak
on it. So Ray J was hitting one of the baby mamas?
Yeah. Yep.
Man, women is our downfall.
Yeah.
I don't understand why
another nigga over a woman, if she opened her motherfucking legs, if you ain't raped my woman, then she gave you the pussy.
Yeah,
and
but
if
why?
She give it, I can't fight you.
Why should a homeboy even be pursuing another dude's chick?
They weren't homeboys then.
Homeboys is nothing but a word. A friend is nothing but a word.
They weren't homeboys like that then, Ray. Come on, man. You asked the question.
Yeah, certain women should be off limits.
I asked the question. They were doing recordings.
What they do in the mafia?
He was on Buntry's tribute song. Yeah. They were fucking with each other then. Yeah. But when all of that came out,
you get murdered in the Italian mafia when you mess with another guy's woman. Automatic. There's no even hesitation to it.
Well, vice versa here. We murder the cat that fucked our woman. And we wind up going to prison. What happens to that woman? She's still on the street. She got another man. Hey, man, I used to be sitting in the county jail, and niggas used to throw their letters out and tearing up everything in their cell because the chick done sent him a letter with a food stamp and tell him, don't write me no more. We gotta pay attention, man. Niggas, I would kill you for messing with my wife. If this ain't my wife. But even if my wife gave you some pussy, I can't be mad at you. You propositioned her, she accepted. As long as you ain't raped and beat her, man, I can't be mad at you.
You're not mad that he even propositioned her?
Not after she done gave him the pussy. Leave her ass. That's the problem right there. She should have said no and came to me if she's a loyal woman. Her loyalty ain't with me. Her loyalty is with whoever.
I agree.
Whatever.
But also,
a homeboy shouldn't be propositioning another dude's girlfriend or wife.
Homeboys. Let me just say it
homeboys,
again.
That's
what they wasn't homeboys. Ray J was not around Death Row prior to 2001, 2002.
So in the 90s, they weren't close.
They knew each other. We used to see each other worship. Ray J was little Brandy's little brother.
Sugar agreed to this. Sugar,
Brandy's
Sugar,
little brother.
Sugar was fucking everybody, woman.
Yeah.
Turn your back, Sugar got it out in New York some motherfucking where. Free trip. So he shouldn't be mad.
He didn't. He went back. He had another baby by this person that I'm speaking on. And another baby by
her. Oh, man. I mean.
How about the woman that has babies by two Michael Jackson brothers? You know about that one?
Oh, yeah. They were all living together.
I forget which brothers
Jermaine
it is.
Jermaine and Tito.
It's either Jermaine and Tito or Jermaine and Randy.
No,
if
Randy,
they agreeing with it, then ain't nothing wrong with it.
That's just a little out of
she
control.
She got a baby by both of the brothers?
She's got babies by two Jackson brothers.
And then she was living in the house with them.
She ain't the only one.
Yeah.
Come to the hood. What? She ain't the only one.
Mm-hmm. Babies by siblings?
By brothers?
Yeah.
Natural blood brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody.
Now, your brother done got killed. Now I'm fucking with you. But I had a baby by your brother previously. So that's my uncle, cousin, Willie. Fuck it. But I mean, that's just how.
All right, come on.
I ain't gonna say other people.
They got this gossip like little women. Let's go.
No, that ain't gossip.
I mean, this is tied into the whole Ray J Suge Knight thing.
But that's the word up, though. We need to stop.
But it's obviously Suge got over it. Suge didn't trip behind it. He moved on.
He was mad for a minute.
He was.
Okay, then. Yeah. So don't try
he
to
was mad when I broke it to him. When I told him, I said, hey, I told Ray J, I said, homie, you better go and, I'm going to tell him. I said, because you know I know.
That ain't no different from Timmy living. I mean, that other situation. a nigga laying up and then now you got your partner fucking her.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, man. That's how motherfuckers get down.
Well, not baby. She was a baby mama at the time.
I don't care. Baby mama don't mean shit. It's just another piece of cuckoo.
Man, it was so funny. Then I saw a picture because I knew the other nigga, this football player from San Diego named Sean Marion, she was fucking. And then I seen a picture of Suge and him on Urban Flavors last show. Hugged up talking shit with Sean Marion. I was like, boy, if you only knew this one. I said, boy.
Hey, that's the way of the world. But if she chose me, then why should you be mad?
Yeah.
Is there a timeline on this Death Row Suge Knight project in terms of the book?
Ain't nothing happening. He just threw it out. Ain't nothing happening. Well, only thing that I know that's happening is this TV deal that's in the works.
What's Nick Cannon going to do?
He said write a book. Y'all say he can do it. I just, for all you people that know about the writing book game and the publishers, please write in the comments so people won't say, oh, he just hating,
let me clarify, it's a
procedure with this book writing stuff.
But go ahead. What I said is,
with the majors,
Nick Cannon
with
has a lot of money.
I agree.
And with a lot of money, you can get damn near anything done, or anything is possible.
Yeah.
And you have a name, Suge Knight, that's worth money.
He done burned up about two or three different major publishers, and they don't want to touch it. Greg Hadings, our boy Greg Hadings. He was trying to shop a book for Suge.
Let me give a shout-out to Greg. Happy anniversary to you and Donna. Hope y'all having fun.
The one that the guy that wrote his book, who has an agent, Kathy Scott.
I don't know nothing about.
I'm just throwing out some names.
The Las Vegas reporter.
She wrote some books. She said there's no interest in 2016, 2017, 2018, in any books on show. And she said, Reggie, there's a little interest on you, but that is just be if you're willing to say. Setting the record straight of all of the false things out there. And so that's what's in the works a little bit. But at that time, they said it was no interest. Now, maybe they'd be willing to work with him now because you have somebody like Nick with, you know, that's vouching for him.
Yeah.
And he's in custody. Because I remember a lot of executives turned us down. Was like, I don't need this in my life. I don't want no Death Row album. Because I don't need him coming up to my, harassing my staff and this.
Getting that money.
Yeah.
Now, you guys, is it possible to tell a Death Row story without Reggie Wright and James McDonald being depicted? in some way, shape, or form?
Oh, yeah. People love to hear that blue side. They love to hear that blue side.
Well, the book has got to include Right Way Security, right? There's no way you can
only,
tell.
Only if you go to the part of 96 on or 95 on with Tupac.
Well, how can you not talk about that period? And, of course, you're coming in there with your brother.
Yeah, and helping get it started. And I think the blue side can tell it. I think the people that's in it only cares about Dre, Snoop, Dogg Pound, Nate Dogg, and all of that.
And does
LT pretty much did it on Pop. He left us all out. He dissed us. He dissed, not us. He dissed the Red Side. Well, he dissed me. He said, one time, what you over here hanging out with them? Bro, he dissed me in there too.
Who was that?
Dre. When he had, when he beat up one of the homies in the movie. You don't remember saying that? You talked about that before.
Yeah, I don't even want to discuss that, brother. He's a billionaire.
I'm just saying, it could be done. They did it.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell the story any way you want, but would it be a complete story is really what I'm asking.
You said Death Rose, but now we said Shit Night.
Is it going to be some accurate 100 shit?
Like, if Nick Cannon is writing this book, should he sit down with you for a few hours, Reggie? Should he sit down with you, James, for a few hours?
Well, the TV people said, we got to have Reggie involved no matter what, if you want him involved or not. And he was like, oh, cool. But that's when he's trying to get that check, too. He also in negotiations.
Yeah, that's all about money for sure.
Yeah, that's
and
all.
Motherfuckers got to understand that, man, especially in his position now.
Yeah.
Shit, I need money. You got cats in the penitentiary taking care of their families.
Yeah.
This all he trying to do.
I don't blame him.
Get his hustle and grind on while they're there. Don't stop. That's all he's saying.
You know, I've been saying on Bump First that right now he's still not ready. I tell people already, I wouldn't even go up there try to talk to him about any deals until about 3 or 4 years of him sitting down in there. And now he got situated in there, completely no really income coming in, and then he'll take it serious. Right now, he's going to still be playing with people, in my opinion, like he did. Tell Ray J, I bet you if Ray J, we was interviewing Ray J right now, I just got off the phone with him. He told me I got lifetime rights and all of that. And he's going to do that the first 2 or 3 years of that. But he eventually going to get serious when he starts seeing shit ain't working.
Well, by the time January comes around, which is just a few months away, that'll be 5 years of incarceration. Because
he was
in the
county. County jail.
Yeah, I'm counting.
I'm talking about that pen. That pen, reality sets in that pen. I think he's like, okay, this is my home for 16 years.
No, reality set in the county jail, brother.
I think you'd be thinking he still got a shot.
No.
No.
The only shot you got at is appeal, which I know is appealed. He appealed it.
Yeah. But everybody appealed. And y'all gonna see in Amber Geiger. She gonna appeal.
I just seen some shit where she appealing already. They first stage in her appeal.
Man, the judge, when he gave me 18 months, his clerk, the next thing he did was say, oh, here's the paperwork to file appeal. I was like, shit, man, y'all gonna have that paperwork. I ain't filing no appeal.
Man, you'll be out before a year.
And I was like, shit, I was over here thinking I'm about to get 3 years. Shit, about that.
Well, this kind of goes into the next topic I want to talk about. And you mentioned this last week, James, the stuff that you guys used to do at Fern Hill Records. And that's really the predecessor of Death Row Records, right?
Exactly.
And I guess you can't really tell a Death Row story without... I mean, in my view, I like the whole history.
And some will say Godfather Entertainment, too. Let's not leave that out.
You got to go.
James, you ever heard of Godfather Entertainment?
Nope.
See?
You got to talk about.
You know what company that is?
But that was, no.
That must be Michael Harris, because exactly. He was the Godfather. That was his nickname.
Okay, it could be, but that ain't what we was doing.
That's my point.
So Fernhill Records is the predecessor to Death Row. Where does Godfather fit into this?
Well, I always just said... The Harry O scenario where he brokered a deal. His attorney, David Kenner, was over there. And he, you know, put everybody together. Pat, David Kenner, this other guy who nobody knows about. And bring the money to the table. But James go way back even further than that with this guy named Mike Klein. Tom Klein. And I'll let James talk about that.
Tom Klein, he was a rich cat out in Beverly Hills. Suge hooked up with him, and Suge already knew that Tom Klein was going to be a big asset to where we was trying to go. When Suge put Death Row on the table, we're going to start a label Death Row, he already had and was mentioning those guys. When he did that, now Thomas Klein got to get on board. Now,
was David Kenner around yet?
DOC. No, David Kenner didn't come. Okay. David Kenner came when Suge signed the papers.
Gotcha.
When we first had the first party, that's when David Kenner, all wore tuxedos that night.
I remember that party. It's on the internet. People know it. Yeah. They got it on the internet.
So when they did that, that's when David came. This is when Harry O came, was mentioned that night in the, thanks to Harry O and all the big ups and all of that.
Thank you. Yeah.
So now we know who the players is. You know what I'm saying? So we still doing Fern Hill and this and that. Why Suge is constructing Death Row, putting it together. So it was a big thing because he got money from everybody. And I'm sitting back watching. I'm like, damn, when is our money finna get me? He got this from DOC. He got this from Dre. He got this from this motherfucker. He got this from this motherfucker. Thomas Klein gave him $1 million.
Chocolate. Don't forget chocolate and vanilla
ice. And then, well, no, what Chocolate later. Did, yeah. His money came through Chocolate because he went through Vanilla Ice and punked Ice for this song, this, the rights for this.
Ice Ice, baby.
So Chocolate only did... Yeah, that's my song.
Yeah.
So when Chocolate didn't get the check, Suge
got the check.
When Suge cashed the check, he got your money.
Yeah.
But Chocolate was good. He went and bought a Mercedes and had a little money doing his thing. But at Fernhill Records, man, we was doing everything.
Was this the late 80s, Fernhill?
Yeah.
Yeah, 89. Yeah. 88,
yeah. 89, yeah.
So this is right before Michael Harris went to jail.
When did he go to jail?
I think 89.
Convicted. That's the word.
Well, he was.
He might be in jail.
He stayed in custody though.
No, he was in jail when Death Row.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Came.
What about when Fernhill was first starting?
He wasn't dealing with. We didn't know about him when it was Fernhill Records. We was rocking Fernhill Records like it was
Mercedes
the thing.
Was registered to Godfather Entertainment. You remember that Fuchsia, that pink, the one y'all see with Damu sitting in the car that's out there. That 500 SL Mercedes, that I took that car and registered it from Godfather Entertainment to a person that named that he told me to register to.
Yeah, that damn car.
Yeah, that Fuchsia. It was black. It used to be black, and then he painted it to Fuchsia.
Now, Godfather was Michael Harris's thing, and I think he produced that play Checkmates with Denzel under Godfather Entertainment. Now that was either 87. That might have been 87 when that play came out.
Well, when I got out of prison in 88, so I knew Fern Hill Records. And then when Death Row came, we had Dre, we had DOC there, we had Mr. Lay there. We had motherfuckers hanging out at that time.
Yeah.
So now all these different players came.
That might be a little bit later, like 89, I think.
Yeah, it was around
89, 90.
90?
Yeah, 90.
About 90, because we was living in the house over here with the pool. And what, Laguna
Cause,
Hills?
Because most people don't know, Suge mainly was starting off for DOC. That's who he was really starting the record company for, DOC.
No, DOC was finna, him and Suge was like this. Mm-hmm. So we thought. And once he got what Suge got what he wanted, Suge really would put you on the side, on the back burner. You're going to be around, but you ain't going to be talking.
Well, he'd tell it from the, when he became talking like Donald Duck. And had the car accident.
Oh, yeah.
When he,
after the car accident, it was only about the money now because he couldn't rap no more.
Exactly.
He couldn't rap no more. Yeah. So he was like a, let's say, a silent partner.
Doc.
DLC was a partner.
Doc sold. I had to go and sell that lawsuit. That's
and
why
then,
I purchased the building
and
to
then
pay him
Doc
off.
Doc and Dre were like cool.
Yeah.
And that was
Doc
made,
is the one that told Dre to fuck
DLC
with him.
Them came, yeah. I mean, Dre and them came to Death Row because. DOC was there.
Correct.
So it just all came together. Yeah. Now Suge got the money to go bam and do what he wanted to do.
Exactly. So you got to cover the history of Fernhill Records to tell that Death Row story.
Well, if you go into the beginning of Suge was...
the beginning of Suge...
Wait a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
The Budweiser Superfest. Suge was a regular ass cat just like the rest of us. No money.
Yeah.
He was mainly in Vegas hustling, doing him thing. You know what I'm saying? And then he got into this vision. Now he fucking with Big West.
who was Al Heyman's right hand.
Yeah, up at Capitol.
Yeah.
So when we got with Wes and going out of town for the Budweiser Superfest and all of this shit, now Shook is really dilly-dallying with all the major artists and
Bobby
shit.
Bobby Brown. Albie Shore. Yeah.
Kumo D.
Yeah.
What's his name? The Heavy Lover.
Heavy D?
Heavy D.
He dealing with
Hammer.
Everybody. Hammer and fighting, everybody.
Fighting and arguing with Michael Concepcion.
New Edition. All of them people.
Yeah.
So now that he got that, now he put Shug, very strategic.
Now the play Checkmates came out in April of 1988 with Denzel, produced by Godfather Entertainment, Michael
and
Harris.
Wasn't doing nothing, maybe dealing with them, but we was doing.
No, he didn't know security. Michael Harris then.
Yeah, we was doing security.
Yeah. I don't even know how he met Michael Harris, to be honest. I don't even know how the David Kenner, the whole...
Man, Shug was getting into a lot of people.
That's one story
and
I don't know.
When he mentioned Harrio, we met David Kenner. Kenner was on the stage with Shug when Dre dropped that M.O.B. Woo. He said, "Mob, listen to this." Woo. And Dre was putting the mob in his songs.
Yeah.
What's the first one he did?
Well, so, D-Cover was the first one that they did together.
The song we mentioned, Put the Hood in It. So he had it cracking. He had it cracking. But he started off just straight nothing.
And made it happen. How he got that D-Cover soundtrack song on there. He had Snoop rap it over the phone to the executives, and he told them that the song was already done and hadn't even been done yet. Sure got some
game.
Stories, man.
That's some game right there.
Yeah, sure got some stories if he'll sit down but he'll make everybody be faggots and table dancers and all of that. But if he sit down and really tell the story the way the story can be, then that nigga have a best-selling book, documentary, and movie.
The average nigga couldn't keep up with Shug, man.
Yeah.
Shug, if Shug slept on the plane, it was just for a short period of time. Niggas be tired as a motherfucker, and he moving.
Yeah.
He moved.
He loved the night out. Did everything
but you be
2-3
tired.
In the morning.
You can't keep up with him.
Yeah.
If you don't keep up with him, you won't see him for another 2 days.
Where
the fuck this dude at? He's got this. You won't find him.
Yeah.
Because he's just moving. That nigga be home and you still in New York.
Yeah. Did Tom Klein go from Fernhill to Death Row Records?
No. Tom Klein stayed away. Tom Klein fucked up. And we...
Because he was the money man at the time, right?
Yeah. But once Shug got... him to invest, and then Tom Klein met a black woman that was using drugs, and she got him hooked on drugs, and
she started controlling it.
She started controlling it, and then he started fucking off the, because he had an insurance company, he had an exotic car company, he had like five companies in one, and Inferno Hill Records, and what happened with that dude? He got to the point where he didn't want to pay none of the women in there. Mind you, all the women in there that's working for him are black women, including my auntie. So you ain't finna not pay them. So
even though James talking shit because Tom Klein's whooped James' ass before.
You're a motherfucking liar. You're a motherfucking liar.
I don't believe that at all.
Shit.
James just got out, but now I'm just talking shit.
Was Tom Klein a thug, too?
Yeah, he was with it.
Yeah.
It sounded like a Jewish business guy.
Yeah. He was a Jew, and he was well-built.
Yeah.
Like
he used to wrestle.
He was like wide
shit.
And solid.
Yeah.
But he wanted to wrestle with him
all the time.
One day, right? He wanted to check out the security that's securing him.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave him action at that. So me and my boy.
Do y'all think I'll be lying? I just be making shit
up.
Nah,
I thought he was.
Anything I say.
I didn't know he was. I didn't know Tom Klein was with the business.
My boy Showboat was bigger than me.
Kenny.
So he wanted to do this wrestling because he was a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Tom Klein got flipped up and flipped down, and was like, "Damn, how you do this? Don't worry about all that. You ain't finna make me look bad." So it was on and cracking. And I'm still strong.
Yeah, because
you
just
straight out of prison.
Yeah.
So you ain't finna get it like that. Man, Tom Klein had us. I moved on. Goddamn.
Because you and Biggie was living there.
No, I moved over there. Oh. Me and Biggie was in Laguna.
Laguna, okay.
And Suge got mad and put us out when I was, he had this little chick living there, and Devonta.
Yeah.
And he got mad. Shit went bad, but anyway, Suge is a very, very, very smart dude, man.
Strategic.
And he did his thing.
That's the only problem I ever had with him. No, he played niggas against each other.
And that's what caused the downfall of
the homies.
The whole Death Row situation.
So did Tom Kline just went downhill after that?
He went downhill, then he went to jail.
Wow.
He went to jail. from a month. And he was so gangster, we went in Beverly Hills. He wrote a fucking check for a gang of furniture. Had him load the furniture on the truck. And called and stopped payment on the motherfucker. He was with the business. He was cool as fuck, man. He was cool as fuck. We used to ride in his Rolls Royce. He had let the top down, and we'd come to Compton. He'd want to ride to Compton. We'd take Showboat home, then come back. And he thought he was going to get me and Showboat in that 911. Oh, no.
Tell him about the Porsche, y'all.
And the Porsche.
Yeah.
Man, Showboat too big. Showboat about 360.
It only sits two, right?
Yeah. How the fuck you going to get a motherfucker in there? And, I mean, we did all kind of shit for the dude. We went to his son's school when he was being bullied. We took Deb to the grocery store and all that shit. Fine. His beautiful wife and kids, man.
But that black bitch ran them off.
Fucked him up.
Ran everybody off.
So and then, even if it wasn't
why,
him.
Why do old Jewish men always like black women?
It's the liberal Jewish men that like black women.
They love them.
Yeah, they do. Because you got the conservative Jewish men
that don't
mess with black women at all. But you got that liberal Jewish
and
guy.
He was stuck. But I wouldn't have got stuck like that. I mean, look what you got at home.
Did he ever recover from that? By the time Death Row is now successful.
Yeah, nobody know. I never heard Shug talked about it. That's why I know some of these stories. That's why I know Tom Kline's whooped James' ass. And all that, because me and Shug didn't talk about that. But I'm joking.
That one.
But I heard of him, but I never met him.
He must have been sitting somewhere in like 93, 94, 95, seeing the success of Death Row. Like, man, I was there.
I used to sit back with Suge. I used to sit in the office, and we used to just, bam, man, look where this motherfucker ended up.
Let's not get him mixed up with Mike Kline, who's the JDL security dude that's out there shooting a documentary right now on Suge.
Well, I'd love to find out where Tom Kline is at today.
I would love to. Because his son, Matt, we had apartments, and I was on top, and Matt was on the bottom. And Matt, his son, was real, real cool. Nice little boy. And you know, I bodyguard and, you know, watched
him
over
around.
Him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Went to a school when he was being bullied, the whole nine. So they was, like, pretty much getting close to, like, family because I was kicking him with him a lot. And after Tom did what he did with the ladies and didn't want to pay him, what I did, everything in the office, the computers, fax machines, I even sold the phones. I took everything. I wiped the whole damn thing out and went and sold it to this company, everything. And then I paid all the women in there. True story, my auntie will tell you. I made sure all of them got paid. I think it was like $61 left. But all of them got paid, all them women, and I think it was like six of them. I took everything out of there. I didn't leave nothing, no pencils, no nothing. So the whole goddamn thing to this, like a office box or something. They bought the computers, the big old copier machines, all that. I sold everything and paid the women.
How much did you sell it for?
Everything? I got $6,000 for everything. And I paid all of them women.
Probably a $50,000 system.
I don't care. It didn't matter. The only thing, and that never mattered to me. Money didn't matter to me. My whole thing is paying them, getting rid of it, because I got it. It's in his truck. Fuck what he talking about. All of them women is paid. And ask them women, all of them women, if y'all out there listening, say goddamn right he did it. My auntie, tell you right now, I had my aunties and my uncles and my granddaddy and them employed. And I just had to look out for the women. Fuck what he was talking about at that time. So, and I never seen him since then.
My last Fernhill question is, no artist, no music ever got put out on Fernhill.
The only one they had was Black, and that's what's
Chocolate.
That's chocolate.
But the whole jacking of the Vanilla Ice rights happened under the Fernhill banner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the claim to fame of Fernhill, that they was able to get Vanilla Ice's.
And he got him good.
Yeah.
See, at that time, man, those cats was so scared of Suge, man. They was doing anything. They was moving out the way when Suge come in. When they see Suge, they get the fuck out the way because they thought they was going to be next. Or he finna try to make an example out of me. They stayed out of his way. So when he got like that, it was nothing that Suge couldn't say to this person or that person, and they put their head down. He was good.
All right. Reggie, this is your last episode for a while. That's the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is you.
When phones don't work in federal prison?
Yeah, the payphones do. I don't know if you get. Well, you can't get a cell phone.
Wait a minute. I got people. I got YouTube people over on Bomb First that are going to make sure I have at least $300 on the books to buy a goddamn.
Oh, man, I listened to Bomb First and Russia. You had Russia on the phone, man. And this motherfucker was talking like, don't worry about nothing. I got people all over the place. Like, oh, okay, Reg.
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about
that might have been a crank call,
the whole idea of being incarcerated for marijuana, which is legal in most places, probably not in Tennessee, but yeah. That your freedom is being taken away because of marijuana and then, of course, the money associated with
it's
marijuana.
It's not about the marijuana. It was the law, and at that time, the dude was doing a Bugsy Malone. He was too big for his britches, and he got caught. Now he's doing 18 little raggedy-ass months. We good. He going to go and do that nine. We're going to walk out of there, and then he's going to come home. We're going to start fresh. Right, Reggie?
Exactly.
Well, the whole thing is, should marijuana even be a Schedule I drug in the United States, meaning harsh penalties when you get caught selling?
I don't
think
it will under the next president.
Well, Obama should have been the one to do
it. He should have. He dropped the ball on that, but he has some other things on his plates. The next Democrat president is going to knock it off and categorize it correctly, I believe.
Because if it wasn't Schedule I, if it wasn't a Schedule I drug, it was Schedule II or something lower, you might not even be looking at any jail time, right?
But you got to look at it like this. If this would have just stayed in California, he wouldn't have been looking at no time.
Correct.
But due to the different states, they have different laws.
Well, marijuana is a federal law. It being a Schedule I is
across,
a federal...
Across state lines.
A federal designation. You're not prosecuted under the state of Tennessee. You're prosecuted by the U.S. government.
Well, for using the postal system and going across state lines and for the money transactions that was done for it, and it was done through banks, bank accounts and stuff.
Well, the money is inevitable. You sell pounds of weed, you're going to get thousands of dollars in return.
But that's how you get it to first base is your problem. Now, if you're sending that much money back and you're sending them through the banks and shit, that's what makes it against the law.
Exactly. It's all type of different crimes.
Yeah, so, I mean, the laws is just fixing some people. To me, it's white-collar shit. And basically, you got white-collar time.
They call it wino time.
Yeah.
And I ain't whining. I'm good with my time. I'm ready to go do it. I got people like James and a whole bunch of people.
We're going to hold you down. We're going to make sure
looking
you
out, that has looked out. And so we're good. They gave me too much time to get shit right, and I got the stuff right, and I'm ready to go through this time and walk it out.
How are you feeling mentally? You got to have some sort of feelings about walking into a federal institution.
It hasn't hit me yet. James asked me that earlier.
I asked him, did he have the butterflies yet?
And I said, no.
Yes. I don't know what cat... I mean,
I don't. I'm sure I'm going to get them, but it hadn't hit me yet.
My first time in prison, I had the butterflies like a motherfucker when they called me, and you go downstairs, and that was my first time. You get the butterflies because you're like, damn, what's next?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I had a lot of time to think about it. Y'all got to remember, I've been fighting this case for 2.5 years, and I knew the whole 2.5 years I was guilty. and I was gonna do some time. It doesn't matter when and how much. And so I done had 2.5 years to digest this and get my life right.
We're gonna ride to you with thinking thin until I see you walking them gates. So I'm going to pick you up at 2 in the morning, and we're going to head on down to Fresno.
No, don't come to my house until 4 in the morning.
No, I can't wait that long.
Oh, my God.
If I wait till 4 o'clock in the morning, we're going to be in traffic. You ain't going to get there in time.
Man, I ain't getting up till 4 in the morning.
Now, I wonder the difference because, James, when you first went to prison, you went directly from the county jail. You were in custody the whole time.
Yeah.
Whereas Reggie was able to bail out and fight this case free, and now he's got to turn himself into a prison.
Yeah.
I wish I would have went on and did the time, because I'd be done.
Yeah, you would have got time served already.
Damn.
You would have got out last year, actually.
I would have lost a lot of stuff in the process that I didn't lose, and relationships and all type of things.
So tell me what was so important about being free, bailed out, that you were able to take care of where if you would have just stayed in custody the whole time, it would have messed you up.
Get stuff right with the fam, the wife, you know, checking accounts, getting my retirement.
But you would have got out in 2018. What month?
Yeah, I probably would have came home to shit. To nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Definitely give you time to
get
that pocket right. Because if not, you know, I come from where cats was taking care of their families out of the county jail. Had money bags this goddamn round.
Made out of socks?
Yeah.
Sock stitching?
And had multiple. Yeah. Which got them. So,
and they used to let them take $30 cash in. And niggas was sneaking even more in. But now, you know, everything does through the commissaries and the Western Unions. And
yeah,
all
it's totally
that.
Different.
It's
now.
On your books. Yeah, you don't totally even see the cash.
Nah, it's totally different now.
They say, you know what they call money in there, I'm told? Stamps. That's how they use it, from stamps. They trade stamps to...
That's probably it. Man.
Now, assuming that Reggie's going to have the same butterflies that you had when you first went to state prison, explain that feeling for us. If you could take me back to 86.
Well, I mean, just going to
a different environment.
To prison, your first time was like, damn. I didn't. My expectation was totally different.
But you were in the county for a minute, though, right?
I was in the county for 9 months before I went.
And the county is way more wilder than any prison yard.
Well, I'd never been to the prison yard, so I don't know.
Okay.
So going to prison was, you know, you they call you as if you're being released. Roll it up. So you roll it up, and then you go downstairs and you wait for the black and white. So you're sitting in there. Now they don't discriminate. You got Bloods and Crips in these tanks. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, the way some of the homies, now you're thinking, it's finna be on now. Instead of that walking the line and just being out there and you taking off on niggas, now you in a cell. So listening to the homeboys tell you what you need to do and what you should do if you get into this situation, if they put you on this yard and send you in here, firing a motherfucker in there, and bam. And my whole thing was like, damn, that's kind of like PCing up, or you know what I'm saying? So I wrote the whole thing out. Fuck what cell they putting us in. And, you know, it was like five of us that went down that night to go, you know, for Chino. We get to Chino. They say don't go to the West Yard. Mm-hmm. This yard is all Crips. It's 900 Crips to four blocks.
West Yard, huh?
But they put you over there. I was in Laguna. Okay. And it's nine Bloods. Well, actually, it was more because it was some cats. And they was like, oh, no, homie, I'm finna do my time and get up out of here. You know what I'm saying? I want to go home. Wait a minute. These are the niggas that's, you know, banging on the motherfucking beds, talking about Bloods rule the streets of L.A. and the whole nine, and bam. But we got some solid cats, Raw Dog, and all of these cats with the business. And we had some cats from the jungles that did karate. So us, the nine was solid. Was solid. But when everybody started disappearing and you find yourself, they say you're only supposed to be on this yard 2 weeks, a week or something before they send you to another prison.
So you're talking about you was in reception at Chino.
Yeah, I was there for a whole month.
What was that like, that month in Chino?
You just got to keep your eyes open. And then you hook up with your boy. Y'all just make sure y'all keep it 100.
Did you know anybody there when you got there, or they were already on the bus with you?
No. When I first got there, we was in a room with a bunch of bunk beds and like the gym. And got into it with this Main Street cat talking shit. Hmm. So we go to the bathroom. Let's knuckle up. And when we get to the bathroom, you got this cage over the bathroom, and you got this guard walking with a pistol, right? So, whatever. I ain't gonna say he didn't want to fight. It didn't happen. So me and Rick James said, fuck it. We walk back and go sit on our bunks and we chilling. And dude is walking by like he with the business or whatever. So, nigga, if you want to get out, let's just get out and be done with it. But, like, it didn't happen. So me and Rick James was just chilling. So I'm cool. I got one of the homies. I got to bump the nigga with me. So we good.
Talking about Rick James from Fruitdale?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we good. So after all of that, they call me. Now, my instructions, they telling me if they send you over there, fire on the nigga because that's all Crips over there. Back then, in my 20s, I'm thinking this is our purpose. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to get your ass beat, whatever happens, happens. You know what I'm saying? But you are who you are. And it wasn't no hiding who I was, or but I didn't go in there like, oh, yeah, I'm the hardest motherfucking blood. Got with the homies. I seen them because they was wearing their red hats, and bam, now I identified. I identified, went over there to them. We good. So it was cool. You know what I'm saying? I got on the yard crew, D crew, cutting the grass and shit. Got with this cat from SWP. Now he teaching me how to make shanks and shit. I'm watching him and I'm looking like, damn, you need one? So he taking the fucking fiberglass and melting the shit and bam, you make a motherfucking knife. But you gotta take the shit and sharpen it. Took me too long. Fuck this thing. You know what I'm saying? And then being nervous and I'm trying to, you know, hit the motherfucker up. My nigga got a locker full of them. We don't need this. We took the forks out the kitchen and put them, wrapped it around our hand and had the forks, these parts, sticking up. So when the fight was on, we had the little fork like
brass knuckles.
Yeah, brass knuckles.
Fork knuckles.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Damn, is Reggie going to have to be doing all that when he gets
No. I'm going to a federal camp.
Well, see, Reggie is not a gang-affiliated guy where he got to go and say, it's not a check-in, but you got to identify with your people. You know what I'm saying? A lot of cats don't. If you don't belong to a clique, if you just this one cat walking the yard by yourself, you're going to have somebody that's going to come and get at you. And when you tell them and they know that you by yourself, you're buying your food and getting your shit, they're going to take it. I seen a lot of cats get their shit
to once again, like I'm in a federal.
You don't know what you're going to do.
I done talked to about three people that just got out of
there. And they can tell you that, but get in there, your JRC say, whoop, whoop, whoop. They going to, no, he don't need to be over there. We're going to put him over here. So that shit can change just by your fucking JRC.
Are you concerned of your law enforcement background?
Some spider loco on us again.
I'm just doing a few minutes.
Oh my god!
4 minutes.
But that's what it is.
Are you concerned that your prior law enforcement history might have a negative impact, even on a camp, or they don't get down like that in federal camps?
I don't know. I ain't never been there, so we'll see. But one thing I know about me.
All Reggie got to do is mind his business.
I wear boxers, not
fuck conversations. Please don't tell a motherfucker you only got 30 days.
I told y'all that's wino time. I ain't got no 30
days. Don't tell nobody you
wish I had 30 days.
Don't, I wouldn't discuss that by time.
Exactly.
Because the next motherfucker might got way more than you and don't want to see you come on.
Exactly.
And they fuck with you. Yeah. So don't discuss your time. Don't give nor take anything from nobody. I ain't got no super yet, whatever they got in commissary. You don't want none of that shit. You got to have your own shit. That's why you're going to be good. And you don't give nobody shit. If you give it to them, you give it to them to let them have it. Because if you got to go back and get it and they tell you no, you ain't got no motherfucking choice but to get that suit back by any means necessary, or you're going to have a lot of motherfuckers coming at you.
You got any plans on taking advantage of this time, like writing a book or
doing something with this time that you're forced to you're confined, but you can be productive with the time. Any ideas or plans?
Nothing in plan.
Reggie ain't gonna do nothing but walk in and go in there and then fuck with the little exercise and come back and look like the old Reggie and then just do his thing. That's all you got to do.
I'm sure you can knock out a book in the several months you're going to be in there.
He got short time, man. He got a very short time.
But there's no distractions.
Yeah, there's a lot of distractions. You got to watch your ass. I mean, if you're in a locked up cell by yourself, you're cool at night. You're cool. Mm-mm. CMC, and we was in dorms. Not a cool.
You don't want to be in no dorm.
Avignon, we was in a motherfucking dorm. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't until Corcoran, when I got to Corcoran in 88, it was relaxing because now I'm in a cell by my motherfucking self and I ain't got to just sleep up in the homies, four up and four down. You ain't got to do that.
You had a one-man cell in Corcoran?
In Corcoran, a one-man cell.
Wow.
Well, no, they had, it was a two-man cell, but didn't nobody occupy that cell but me. 114, but me. For my duration of my time left, I paroled from Corcoran.
And you preferred it that way?
It was beautiful to just lay back now and I can half-ass sleep. Because anybody and any of the homies know, you had, like, just say Avignon, you got, it's 10 of us. Yeah, five niggas up at night, and you had five niggas down. You know what I'm saying? And we worked it like that. You know what I'm saying? If not, you land there, and you got to watch everybody because you got the Mexicans, and this the time when they was locks in the socks and all this shit. You sitting there jacking off and get hit with a lock, you're done. CMC, you got to worry about your shit in this rinky-dink-ass locker. So, yeah, man, you got to worry about a lot of shit. You got to think about a lot of shit.
Well, I got the last Reggie Wright interview that he's done that will be posting on Street TV within the next couple of weeks. And it's going to be a minute before you do another. And hopefully I'll get your first interview when you get out, too.
We're going to be there to pick him up. As I stated earlier, we're taking him all the way. And we're going to film him walking in that gate. The whole nine, and we're going to film him coming out that motherfucker. So, I mean, we in it till the wheels fall off, dog. And you got a short period of time. As soon as we hit the highway, though, he's going to have butterflies like a motherfucker. Watch. He's going to have to piss our shit. Like, damn. But.
Final thoughts, Reggie, before we wrap up this episode 30 of the Gangster Chronicles.
Yeah, so Bomb First going to be, like I said, I don't know if I said it earlier. They're going to be posting my location and how you can write me. And if you want to bless me with some money on my books, they also instruct you how to do that. That'll be on Thursday.
You fucking around and come home with $5,000, $8,000, $10,000 on your books. Everybody look at that.
No, we're going to have everyone that's listening to the show.
Oh, no. Gangster Chronicle people don't like me.
it's a mixed bag, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
But everybody who does like the perspective of Reggie Wright, you're going to go to the BOP website and look him up, Reggie Wright Jr. There's going to be a few Reggie Wright Jr.'s in there. How do they figure out which one is you?
Reginald. It's actually Reginald.
Reginald Wright. Right. And the Jr. will be on there.
Yeah, the Jr. is definitely there.
How about we just ask all our Gangster Chronicle fans to send Reggie $1. That's four quarters. That's four quarters a month. Boy, you paid.
Yeah, but it's all good.
No, they can do it through the...
Even if you just write me a letter and just say, what's up?
I
don't like you. And here's a picture of my sister.
No, they can do it through the Bureau of Prisons website, right? They can submit.
It's
on there.
So just
inmate,
go.
Federal inmate.
Well, once you get in there and get that little number, that little card,
the BOP,
then everybody will know what exactly.
And that's what I was saying, because John's going to pull all that up and he's going to do a video about it. And he's going to post it on Bomb First.
That's good. That's good. All right. So in the next couple of days, if you don't go to Bomb First, you could just look him up on the BOP website, Reginald Wright Jr. Slide him a little something. He's going to need it.
$1.
Just slide him a little something, and I'm sure he'll appreciate it.
And maybe he'll shout you out when he does his first bomb first show when he gets out.
$1.
And even if you don't put no money in there, you just send a letter, it'll be appreciative as well.
If you send $1, if all the people that we got that listen to Bomb First send $1, Reggie will be taken care of. And his cellmate. You caught on. You caught on to that one. But, no, we got you. We got you, dog.
Respect.
All right. That wraps up episode 30 of the Gangster Chronicles. This is Reggie Wright's last episode until hopefully 2020. So make sure you go look him up, Reginald Wright Jr. And you know where to find me, Street TV, streetgangs.com. You know where to find James McDonald. He's on Facebook. And make sure you find him with the red Harley. I don't know how come you don't just put a picture of you on your profile.
I don't do pictures.
You don't do pictures, but you've done all these interviews.
Yeah, well, they can see me on TV. How many times they want to turn to it? But you don't see me out there like that. I don't know.
Yeah, you can find
McDonald
on Facebook with the red Harley and that Instagram, BIGGJ3636. And you still got those shirts? 909-864-04. And don't forget to look out for our boy, Reginald Wright Jr. Mm-hmm. And he's turning himself in a couple of hours.
Yeah, and less than 24 hours now.
And that concludes episode 30 of the Gangster Chronicles. Man, and
I still
we
wanna,
are out.
Wait a minute. And I still want to say happy anniversary to Greg, Kaden, and Donna. Happy anniversary. They've been together 31 years. And 19 of it is marriage. So, happy anniversary to you guys. We out.
This has been a Digital Soapbox Network production.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart, and I'm very forgiving, but, like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.